The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you will get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. Take advantage of this special. Call 1-866-385-5384. For more information, you can go to www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, this is Michael Wardian, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 230 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today podcast and touringplans.com. And with me on the show on this fine December day is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. I wish I could actually see into the future because we are recording this a little bit before Thanksgiving, and we're expected to have about 6 to 10 inches of snow. So I'm wondering if I'm going to get to do my turkey trot. We'll have to wait and see.
Maybe a snow trot.
I'll still do it. I'll still be out there. Might be slow. So before we get going, I'm excited about today's show, as I always am, but I have a shout out, and that is to at least three of our friends who did the Philly Marathon, Zachary Hoover, John Thompson, and completing his first marathon is our buddy Matt Allgaier. And Matt, really, that's fantastic. We know you've come a long way, and congratulations. We give you a huge shout out from Mickey Miles.
I've known Matt for about 9 years, and he's come a long way.
Yeah.
Long way. As always, we have, Michelle and I have always wanted to see this podcast as an opportunity for us to help those who are getting off the couch, who are looking to become more fit to enter the world of running. And we always try to do our best to bring the best information. And sometimes we have questions and we need an expert. And we have brought on who we feel is the best expert to answer all these questions. He's been on our show before. He is a former Olympian. He's the author of Last Count, about 25 unbelievable books on running. And he is the training consultant for Run Disney. His name is Jeff Galloway. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Mike and Michelle, it is great to be on your show. You do a great job.
Thank you very much. And I have to say, I always say this too, Jeff, that we're very, very lucky and very grateful that whenever we ask you to be on the show, it's not a matter of yes or no. It's when can we do it? So we really, really appreciate it. And we know that people are very happy that you're willing to help out answering their questions.
And this
I love the show.
This is an exciting time, Jeff, because you and Barbara have a very important event coming up. And it's going to be held in Atlanta, and it's the Jeff Galloway 13.1. But why don't you tell our audience all about that weekend?
Well, I've actually got some news that I will tell you. We were out on the course today, start and finish, and the course, looking over things. And I've got to tell you, it was just absolutely beautiful. It's just a very scenic course. It finishes in our Stellar Park, Piedmont Park, over 2 miles inside the park, around the lake, and just wonderful scenery out there. I will be giving everyone their medal who wants me to give it to them, and we have free pictures that a person will be able to get from this experience. But we have a number of really interesting things the whole weekend. We do have an expo. When I was asked to put on this event about 15 years ago from a wide range of different people, the mission that the individuals told me about is we are all experiencing this wonderful lifestyle change through running. And what most people said, you ought to hold your own race because you are symbolic of what happens to people when they try a method and they have a great experience and it changes their life. And so I started working on this about 5 years ago. It's only been during the last 18 months that we have put the pieces of the puzzle together, and we are so excited about it. It will be the 12th through the 14th of December. The 12th and 13th are the expo days. I'll mention a couple things about that. But on the 13th, the morning of the 13th, we have my wife Barbara's 3.1 miler on a really nice course through Ansley Park, near our Pheidippides store in Atlanta. And it's mostly a downhill course. The big deal is that it has a medal that Barbara designed. So we're very excited about that.
Oh, neat.
So there can be a two-medal weekend. And then the next day is the Jeff Galloway 13.1. I'm very proud of the way this thing has come together and the people that we have working for us. The timers are the same timers as all the Disney events. It's Track Shack Racing Team out of Orlando.
John Hughes.
Yes, John.
John and Betsy.
Wonderful, wonderful guy. And his team is superb, obviously. The medal has gotten really, really rave reviews, and you can go to our website and take a look at it. We're going to have a number of meetups throughout the weekend with my friend Bill Rogers, Bart Yazzo, Chris Gillespie, a number of folks who will be having smaller groups and some clinics too. It's going to be a motivational weekend. People are going to go away from our weekend really feeling motivated throughout the winter. And of course, in some parts of the country, you're going to need that motivation. We have a costume contest that will take place during the Saturday afternoon session at the expo. And we actually have some prize money for costumes. And whenever we've done this in the past, we found that a lot of costumes come out of the woodwork. So we're really fired up about that. And one of the judges is an old friend of mine named Elmo Shropshire. Elmo is a musician and a veterinarian, but his biggest claim to fame is that he had a super hit, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh my gosh, wow.
You know, it's that time of the year, and Elmo is just a really fun guy. He also is a very fast age group runner in the over 70 division. So it's very walker friendly. We have a 4.5 hour limit. And so we'll have a lot of walkers out there, and we welcome walkers. The Barb's 3.1 actually has live music afterwards. We have a bluegrass band and some really upbeat folks that will be around there. With some specials that we'll have at my Pheidippides store. But the big news is we have a virtual version of it, which means that runners and walkers can finish either a 5K or a half marathon from October 1st to March 1st, send us the results, and they will win their medal and their T-shirt, and we will ship it to them. And the other advantage of this is that these folks will be on the legacy and heritage list and eligible for the incentive awards that we will have later on for staying with the event. But they will have all original charter member status with our event. So you can go to jeffgalloway.com or jeffgalloway131.com and find out all the information on the virtual or the actual. And we want as many people to be a part of this weekend dedicated to those who have changed their lives for the better.
Well, that's fantastic. And I'm going to say right now that I'm going to sign up to do the virtual race. Definitely.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Hey. At least the 13.1 and maybe the 5K too. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, we maybe we'll do the Barb and Jeff challenge. We'll do a 5K one day and then we'll do the 13 the next day.
Jeff, that sounds so neat. It's funny, when you were telling us about this race, you know, as you've been planning it, in my mind, I just was picturing that you were running the race. It seems so strange to me that you'd be giving out medals. It's fantastic, but I just thought you'd be running with everybody. But of course, you're going to be at the finish line greeting people.
I want to greet everyone and make that experience of accomplishment the best we can possibly do.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you are very enthused about it. And I know that a lot of people listening to the podcast are going to the race, and we're trying to see if we can get a little meetup together. So we'll keep people posted if we get that moving along. So that sounds great. So, Mike, are we ready for some questions?
Mr. Galloway, are you ready?
I am ready, Mike.
All right. So we asked people if they had questions for you, and we had questions from Twitter. We had emails. We had people on the Mickey Miles Facebook page and the Mickey Milers. So, Jeff, I hope you're going to pace yourself for these questions, because there are a lot of them.
But I just took a sip of coffee, so
all
I'm
right. Wow. Okay, so the first one is from Jenny, and she is from Tequesta, Florida. And she says, "Hi, Mike, Michelle, and Jeff. I've been training with the Galloway Palm Beach group. Training with the group has been awesome, and I will be running my first half marathon with them in 2 weeks. I will have 10 weeks between Palm Beach half marathon and the Disney Princess half marathon. How can I best use those 10 weeks to prepare for the Princess half?" So she's finishing one half. 10 weeks later, she'll be doing another. What should she do, Jeff?
Well, Michelle and Jenny, this is really a common thread. I must have fielded 5 questions today concerning Princess and how to mesh it in with the training for another event. You have a relatively simple task, and that is to start from Princess and work your way back. Every 2 weeks, you would have a long run. 2 weeks before Princess, I suggest a 14-miler. 2 weeks before that, a 13-miler, and then a 12, and then a 10, and that's going to be about right. There may be a 9 or a 10, another one, but the bottom line is that you only need to run long every 2 weeks, and on the short mileage weekend, you only need 3 miles, so there's the good news.
So she'd start this 2 weeks after her half marathon, starting with a 9 or a 10, and then all the way back up to her 14.
That's right.
Good.
Our next question, Jeff, turns from half marathon to full marathon. It comes from Christopher Smith. And Christopher says, "Jeff, what advice do you have for people who want to maintain a marathonish distance?" And he says, for instance, if they have a few marathons every six, sounds like he says running a marathon every 6 to 8 weeks, would a 22 mile long run every 2 to 3 weeks be too much?
I think this is going to be your training schedule, you and Barbara, because this is what you both do, right?
That, Michelle, you are right on target. We figured out well over 10 years ago that the way to cheat in training for the marathon is to run a marathon every month. And if you do that, then each marathon is the long run for the next one. So that's one tack right there. But the reality is that you don't have to run marathons if you don't want to keep that level of mileage up. And just as I mentioned with Jenny's program for Princess just a few minutes ago, you would count back from your next marathon, and then 3 weeks before that would be a 26 miler, 3 weeks before that a 23, 3 weeks before that a 20, 3 weeks before that 17. And you could run 17 every 3 weeks, depending on how much time you had, and maintain that 17 miles. Or if you wanted to run 20 to 22 miles every 3 weeks, that's also okay. The point is that you don't have to run that long every week. Once you reach 17 miles, you can hold that endurance for 3 weeks.
Okay, Jeff, we have a interesting question, and it comes from Kelly Campbell. And I think this talks about, and I've heard you on other podcasts talk about the difference between race pace and training pace. So keep that in mind as I ask you this question. This comes from Kelly Campbell, and she says, Can you run races like real races during your training schedule? She says, that is, while training for a marathon, do I have to treat those halves as long runs, or can I run them like true races?
Well, I know Kelly. She's great. And, you know, knowing Kelly and how she really likes to get everything she can out of a race, I know where she's coming from. A lot of us do that. When we get to a race, we'd really like to race. Well, sometimes we can. It's a little complicated, though, because the harder you run on a weekend that should be a training run, it means that you're going to have a longer recovery, and or you could induce some injuries. This is a very common cause of injury. When you're training for a marathon and you have a moderate long run in there and you race it, it takes more than a week to recover from that, and sometimes it takes more than 2 weeks. So there's no clear-cut answer, because there are a lot of people who have learned how to adjust their run-walk-run so that they can run quite fast, even though they're taking a good number of walk breaks. And that's the best compromise that you can do. So, Kelly, I will tell you that it is possible to run some of those half marathons at race pace. But when in doubt, back off the pace so you can recover towards the primary goal, which is the marathon.
Great. Thank you. She also has another question, and I have this question too. I think you actually, we were talking off air, and you sort of, you probably don't know, but you probably answered this one to me already. She says, I know it's always okay to add walk breaks, but is it safe to extend runs by gliding down long hills? And you were talking about you and Barbara at Avengers.
Yes, we were talking about the wind at Avengers for most of the race. And one thing that I don't know whether you saw or not, but did you see the tumbleweed coming at you?
I did not, but we saw the pictures on Facebook, and it was quite big. I did see a lot of other debris.
That was bizarre. It actually was coming out of one of those dips when you went under an underpass.
Oh, wow.
And it was being blown uphill at a pretty good rate. And yes, it was. It was a very large tumbleweed. We had to get out of the way.
Wow.
But moving on to this question, during races, if you've developed really good downhill running form, which I'll mention in a second, there's usually no problem with running downhill for longer than you would normally run on a walk break. You need to be sensitive, especially early in the race, so that you don't pound yourself too much. Now, what is good downhill running form? It is keeping your feet low to the ground so that you have a modified shuffle, and you keep your stride length under control so that there's really not, you don't have a very long stride length at all. What happens if you let the stride length go? You end up pounding your feet, overstretching your hamstrings, torquing your back, and having to use your quads to slow you down as brakes. There's really no reason, if you have really good running form, to have sore quads on a downhill course. And you can run about as fast as you could with a long stride with that really good downhill running form. So get that form correct, Kelly, and you can just zoom down those hills without pounding yourself.
So this is a follow-up question from me. Going too hard on the downhills be the cause of losing toenails?
It can be.
If you're pounding too, and your stride is too long and you're going too hard down the hills?
It can be, yeah. There are other reasons why you lose toenails. One of them is just centrifugal force. With the every time your foot comes forward, you sling a tiny bit of blood into the toe region, and particularly on hot days, it will accumulate and put pressure on the inside, causing a hematoma. Mm-hmm. Other reasons, there are two genetic patterns that I have identified through help from podiatrists that cause black toenails. One of them is a clawing motion, and the other one is a lifting of the toes to the top of the shoe, producing sort of a hammer toe effect. Both of those are genetic. They are subconscious. You don't realize you're doing it, but you can see the evidence when you take your shoe off and look at the insole and so forth. You can see the wear in a shoe that has been used for a lot of running. That said, if your shoe is not laced quite tight enough, you can definitely slip when you're running down a hill, and your foot can move forward and jam the toes, and that can be a cause. I would say it's a minority cause, but it certainly can be.
Interesting. Thank you.
The simple fix for that particular issue is to make sure that lacing the shoe is done fairly snugly, just right where you lace it. You don't necessarily have to get all of the laces really tight. It's just right where you tie the lace.
Well, I'm going to have to remember this when I do Boston again, because that's where I lost my toenail. Okay.
Downhill.
Yeah. And I was thinking of those downhills as I was reading Kelly's question. The next question is from a new half marathoner, Jeff. He and his wife, Jennifer, did their first half at the Avengers. It's Bill Taylor from Texas. And he says, given the recent Avengers race, what is your advice for running in extremely high winds? Do you shorten your intervals, or you just treat it like you're going uphill and simply maintain effort?
Well, Bill and Jennifer, you had an introduction to the half marathon, the trial by fire. I was mentioning earlier, I've only run in one race where the wind was more fierce than that. It's not common. It's very possible that you'll never in your career, in your 50 to 100-year career in running, ever experience anything like that before.
Oh, but, wow. That's saying something, Jeff.
It is. But when it does happen and you have these long stretches of headwind, I recommend treating it like it's a long uphill, so that, yes, you would shorten your running segments and lengthen your walking segments. A lot of folks who have more running than walking simply reverse it. In other words, if they were running for 40 seconds and walking for 20, they would run for 20 and walk for 40 or something like that. But yeah, that helps. And then the other issue is to keep your stride short, as you would when running up a hill. The longer your stride going into the wind, the tireder you're going to be. And then avoid the temptation to lean into the wind, because that can produce a lot of stress on the back. So just going down to a shuffle, a light shuffle with feet low to the ground, is really the best way of coping with the wind.
That's great advice. I wish I had that advice, you know, about a week ago, or 2 weeks ago. Jeff, this next question comes from a friend of ours, Tom Troost, and it's a question that I don't think we've asked you before. Tom wants to know if you have any tips for using the run, walk, run method on trail races.
Tom, yes. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, I came out with a new book called Trail Running, and it does address that issue and a lot of others. It even has the standard training distances in distance running, 5K, 10K, half, and full, but it also has ultra training for the 50K, 50-mile, 100K, and the 100-mile, and you can use those training programs whether you're training on trails or on roads for those long distances. Now, all of that said, the run, walk, run has to be adapted and adjusted on trails for the reality of the trail debris and holes, potholes, roots, rocks, things like that. You have to be constantly aware. One of the wonderful things about trail running, Barbara and I are about to leave for Thanksgiving. We're going to spend it down at our beach retreat area where there are hundreds of miles of pine straw trails. And we're fortunate because those trails are just wonderfully forgiving, and there are hardly any roots and virtually no rocks there. But most trail systems have a good amount of roots and rocks and places where debris has covered up the ruts and other things. So you have to be constantly vigilant, and that causes an energy boost from the brain. So it's actually a good thing. However, you've got to stay vigilant. The reality is there are more injuries among those that run on trails than run on pavement because of all the obstacles that could be going on there. But if you're vigilant and you walk as soon as you find a challenging place and get through the rough area, you lower your chance of having those problems dramatically.
Oh, that's so interesting. And I'm stunned that you've written another book that we that I haven't heard about.
Surprised.
You just, I don't know when you sleep, Jeff. Honestly,
surprised.
I don't know. But that was a really interesting question. Thank you, Tom. Great answer. So the next question is from our buddy Mark Lorenzo. And Jeff, Mark is on the Disney Moms panel. He used to be on the Disney Moms panel and is a runner. And he wants to know, at the Avengers Expo in Disneyland, Jeff, you talked about shorter walk, run, walk intervals like 90 seconds, 30 seconds will actually lead to faster finish times. How do you determine how fast to run in the run intervals and how fast to walk in the walk intervals if you're using shorter intervals? He says, I typically use a 4 minutes to one or a 3 minutes to 30 second interval, averaging about a 12-30 minute per mile, but I would like to get faster.
There's a really good chance, Mark, that you will get faster with shorter intervals simply because I hear the evidence of that every day from people that are very, very surprised when they try these short increments and they end up with significantly faster times. Just yesterday, there was someone that improved 12 minutes in a half marathon, and another person that improved about, I think it was 28 minutes in a marathon. And the only change that she and he made was the reducing of the amount of running and walking in those short intervals. Now, the other general rule, though, of run, walk, run, is that each person needs to determine what works best for that person. So even though I will give you the configurations that have worked for hundreds of thousands of people, I am not going to dictate what they should be, because regularly I hear individuals that find different configurations that work for them. So if 4 and 1 really does work for you and you're not slowing down at the end, you're speeding up, then maybe that's going to be okay for you. But I will say, at your pace of 12 to 12:30 a mile, a 2 and 1 configuration ratio actually has worked better, and the configurations have actually been 60 seconds run, 30 seconds walk, or 40 seconds run and 20 seconds walk, or what I use to qualify for Boston, 30 seconds of running and 15 seconds of walking. And one of the things that you find when you practice this, and that's really what you need to do, you need to practice it, but what you find is that you're more energized because you're shifting more quickly, and the brain stays more engaged and stays more focused, and you react quicker. But the main factor that I'm finding is that the maximum amount of benefit from a walk break occurs at about 30 seconds. So walking a full minute for most of the runners that I've worked with ends up causing a slowdown at the end, because during the second 30 seconds of that 1 minute walk break towards the end of a marathon or half, the pace really slows as people get tired. The shorter increments allow you to rev it back up again. And because you're only running for a much shorter segment, you can put more quality in it. And this is another comment that I hear over and over again. So again, for the pace that you're doing, what I suggest that you do is on a Tuesday or Thursday, one of your short runs each week, that you have 4 to 6 half mile or 800 meter segments for time. And you want to run at the pace that you believe you're going to be able to run in your next race or even your goal pace. And on each successive 800 meter or half mile repetition, try a different run, walk, run ratio. And over the span of a season, as you do these different configurations, maybe 60-30 on one and 40-20 on another and 30-15 on another. And you may find some quirky ones like 26-13. I hear that all the time. People have just found that certain things work better for them. And that's the point. So once you go through a season trying various configurations, you'll find what works best, and then you'll be ready for the race.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And I have a confession to make that and you trained me for Dopey last year, and I decided on Avengers that I was feeling really energized, and I decided to run the first 5K, so I ran straight, and I ended up then switching to run, walk, run, and my pace went up dramatically when I did that. So
I hear
it every
day.
I should know better, but...
Well, we'll be talking about that, Michelle.
Yes, we will.
And I'm one of those people who I love experimenting, Jeff. And I think one of the things that works for me is 40-15. So
good.
That works for me. We're going to go to some of the questions on Twitter. And there have been questions that have been sent to Mickey Miles Pod, Twitter, at our Twitter handle, whatever you want to call it. So let's start off. And this one continues talking about run, walk, run. But instead of pace, this is concerned with stamina. And it comes from Diz Runner K. And she says, to improve stamina, is it better to run longer intervals or maintain an even ratio? So, for instance, run longer intervals, 2 minutes run, 1 minute walk, or maintain an even ratio like a 1 minute run and a 1 minute walk?
Well, like so many running issues, there is no clear cut answer. And I'll have to back up a little by explaining that pure stamina is increased better in my experience by lengthening the length of the long run. So in preparation for a half marathon, if you really want to have the maximum amount of stamina that you could get for that race, and be really able to handle the fatigue at the end, there are two things that work. One is lengthening the long run so that 3 weeks before the half marathon race, you are running 19 miles. That's where I found to be diminishing return set in, and there's no benefit from going farther. Now, certainly you don't have to run that far, but I'm just saying to maximize your stamina, that's what I've found. And those long runs have got to be run slowly, at least 3 minutes per mile slower than you're running in a current half marathon. Now, the other way that builds stamina better than anything else, actually a little better than the long run, is to do a series of repetitions. For the half marathon, it's half-mile repetitions, and it starts with four of them, run on alternate weekends with the long run, building up by two additional on each workout, so that by the end of the season, the last workout is 14 times 800 or 14 times half mile. And what happens when you get into those latter workouts is you get tired with three or four or five to go, and you have to find a way to get through that workout. And it's exactly the same fatigue stamina issue that you have to deal with during a race. And because you have gone through this in your workout, you are prepared to do that when you get into the race itself. Now, there is one other issue, though, that relates directly to walk breaks. And that is, if you're planning at the end of the race to run more in order to speed up at the end of the race, which certainly is possible and something that I totally endorse. For example, Michelle, my recommendation for the 5K that you would run nonstop at Avengers would have been the last 5K.
Yes.
And so you do the walk breaks all the way up until the last portion. But if you're planning to do that last portion mostly running, then you need to practice that on some of the short runs.
Yes.
Get into a habit of, during the second half of your short runs, run more than you've been running and gradually build up to nonstop running for the amount that you think you want to do during your race right at the end.
Great. Thank you. We are always so happy to have Jeff Galloway as a guest on our show. And good news, he answers more listener questions in episode 231 coming up on the next episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.